Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope featuring Pastor Rick Womack.
How many of us know that that God the Father is a good God? Yes and amen. He has good gifts for His children. Yes and amen. So Jesus says, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. I am sending the promise. It's a promise. It's not a possibility. It's a promise. All we got to do is receive the promise. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed, until you put on power that comes on you from on high. I'm going to teach. I know I'm supposed to do the offering now, and I apologize in advance to whoever the counter is today. I love you. Forgive me. I do mean that. One of the reasons they step out of the service to take care of the offering, securing it and counting it, and we normally don't wait till the end of the service, but I just feel the need to teach because there's such a I feel like there's a receptivity here right now. Yeah, I need to release kids. Thank you. So kids church, you guys go. And they're off. Let me, while they're moving. Everybody got their hair back to normal. Almost everybody. Mallory and Macy don't quite. They had color in it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got color in mine. It's gray. Used to be brown. Chrome, is that what you said? Chrome, it's not gray, it's chrome. That sounds a little more manly at least. Kind of like you got a Harley. It's chromed out. My head's chromed out. Let me say thank you to everyone who helped us out yesterday at the work day. We pressure washed every sidewalk and cleaned this kitchen. Every cabinet and every shelf, wiped them down, took everything out, threw away some stuff. If y'all were looking for some mini marshmallows that you stored in there, they are in the trash. So there's a lot of stuff in there. We had some wine in there. It used to be Welch's grape juice, but it was aged out quite a bit. Thank you guys. Thank you ladies for helping us out. And also, if you'll notice, some of the kids had a great time last night, and we had a girl's sleepover. And thank you to the moms who endured the fun time, and thank you for everything you do. I want to continue to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I, when we do an encounter weekend, I very much teach. I don't preach a lot. Thank you for putting that back up. This morning, what I want to do in this part of the service is I want to start with a word. Can we go wrong with a word? No. If you're a note taker, take notes. If you're not, become one today. Okay, because I'm going to put a lot of scripture out in front of you for you to go back and think on and go through. And I'm going to put myself on a timer. I'll be done when I'm finished. Is that good? I really, I was praying this morning early, and I realized anytime you're dealing with the subject of the Holy Spirit, I'm just being really candid with you. I am praying and have been praying, and others have been praying and have been praying all week long that people will be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit today. Okay, so if you're dry or if you've been dry, you're in the right place. Don't freak out on me. Don't worry about it. You're in the right place. It's going to be a good altar service. I'm just going to tell you everything that's going to happen. We're going to invite you to come up. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to ask God to refill you with the Holy Spirit or to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Is that good? But to help you get there, I want to start with a word, because can we ever go wrong with a word? I didn't think so, so that's a good place to start. I'll tell you a little bit about my baptism in the Holy Spirit experience. I was a relatively new believer, living in, with my mom in Gastonia, and I don't know if you remember my friend John Threlkeld. You remember John? John was an older single guy in the church, and we didn't have much of a young adult group, so he and I hung out, and John just had a compassionate heart, and so we went to a revival, and we took someone with us from the church, and she really just scared me, if I'm being honest. She's a senior adult, and John had a huge heart for widows and senior adults, and so he would take different ones to different revivals or what have you, singings. Did I get it right? That's hard for this Florida boy to do. And so we went to a revival one night, and we picked up this lady. I don't remember her name, but I'm sitting in the back seat. She's sitting in the passenger seat. And she leans back with these glaring eyes and this voice from the heavens. Or at least it felt like it was from out of the room. She said, "You've been filled with the Holy Ghost?" And I went like shutdown mode. But I was honest. I said, "No, ma'am, I haven't. Tonight's your night." I said, "Okay." So I was really kind of scared from that point on. Anybody else had anything like that experience? You ever experienced anything like that? It may not have been that, but anybody else experienced something like that? Yeah? She put me on high alert, Constance. I mean, I was ready to just, let's stop at this stop sign and get out of the car. I'll find my way back home, you know. And so we went, and the guy, it was at a Church of God, and the guy preached it up. He did a great job. I have no idea what he preached, but in the middle of his message, he stopped preaching. He said, "Somebody needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost." And I was like, this is a setup. She's already went up there and told that guy I hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost. And this is totally a setup. I know what's happening here. And it wasn't a setup. And I'm telling you, oh, it was like, why do I have 2,000 pounds on my shoulders right now? Why? I know I'm supposed to get up, but man, I sure don't want to. And I'm sitting in this pew, and I'm feeling the weight of the Lord, and I'm feeling the conviction of the Holy Ghost. I call him Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And so I finally stand up. "Young man, come up here." Oh boy, it's on. "Can I just stay here?" So from there, I wish I could tell you it was a powerful and beautiful experience, but it was really one of the most frustrating things in my life. And that's what I want to help you with. I want to help you understand my frustration so that perhaps you won't have to experience my frustration. Because from that point on, and you've been in these services, you've seen it. All right, son, and the intercessors came around. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Like, where are all these? There's like a whole army behind me. And next thing I know, I got people in my face, and they're doing this thing right here with my neck. Just let it go. Just let it go. Y'all seen that? Okay. Just let it go. Just let it flow. Just let it flow. I don't know who it was. And I was freaked out, y'all. I'm telling you. I'd been in a Pentecostal church. I was at Emmanuel College, in fact. But I was struggling with what was going on in this place. Just let it go. Just let it go. Hang on. Hang on. Hold on. Hold on. And I heard this teaching. Some of y'all have heard this. You just need to hold on. Hold on to God. Just hold on to God. Just hold on to God. And then somebody else is over there going, "Just let go. Just let go. Just let go. Just let go." And I'm like, which one is it? Do I hold on or do I let go? Do I hold on or let go? I mean, I'm doing calisthenics. You just need to lay here before Him. You just need to don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. You just need to give up. You just need to give it all up. Just give it all up. I give up. And everything that happened, some of y'all have, and let me tell you something, I don't make fun of that. It sounds humorous and we're laughing. We're laughing because we've seen it or we've experienced it, right? And I want to give proper credit because here's the thing. God did fill people with the Holy Ghost by that, right? Some of you were filled in that environment. Hold on, let go, give up, don't give up. Speak up. You got to let it out. You got to let it out. Just listen. Just be quiet and listen. Speak up. Listen. Quiet. What? The Holy Spirit, God in His sovereignty and His faithfulness, has filled people with the Holy Ghost in that environment, and I do not minimize it. I'm thankful because it paved the way to where we are here today. But today I want to start with the Word because the Word can never fail us. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by how? The Word of God. So let's start with the Word. Let's see what the Word has to say. And there it is. Romans, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You can jot that down. In Luke chapter 24, I've read this passage a lot in the last probably year, maybe longer. I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Do you hear the words of Jesus? How many of us know that that God the Father is a good God? Yes and amen. He has good gifts for His children. Yes and amen. So Jesus says, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. I am sending the promise. It's a promise. It's not a possibility. It's a promise. All we got to do is receive the promise. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed, until you put on power that comes on you from on high. You're to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Let's look at some of the Old Testament prophecies. I'm going to hit these very quickly for the sake of time. In Isaiah chapter 32, verse 15. Work for me. There you go. 32:15 talks about God bringing change. The wilderness would become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field would become a forest, and that there would be an end to barrenness. This is a prophetic indicator in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, of the coming of the Spirit in the New Testament. That the fruit, the field would become fruitful, that there would be an end to the barrenness. Isaiah 44:3, God is going to bring a refreshing for those who are thirsty and dry. Those who are thirsty and dry. Anybody in this room this morning been thirsty or dry in the last month? Come on. I sat up here and told you my sins. Come on now. Thank you, Ben, and the others that raised your hand. He put two hands up. That's why he stood out. Look, we've all been thirsty and dry. God gives indicators in the Old Testament, Isaiah 44, verse 3, that there is going to come a time of refreshing for those who are thirsty and dry. Isaiah 28, verse 11, that there would be a communion with God. It talks about stammering lips and another tongue. In other words, God desires to communicate with His children more effectively and in a deeper way than we presently have. And so the promise of the Father is coming so that we can have that relationship that makes us and takes us deeper. Or Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 7, God is going to give us a new heart and a new spirit. Ezekiel chapter 39, verses 26 through 30, just highlighting it. God will break the domination over our lives, removing shame. He will bring back people to their inheritance, and He will deliver them from His enemies. And then finally, the one that we often see, and the one that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 9, God would give revelations and revelation through dreams and visions, a greater understanding of the Word, and that the Word would come alive in yours and my life. So you've got some Old Testament indicators. There are more. I just gave you a half dozen or so for you to get a good idea that this Holy Spirit thing, hate to use that phrase, but I'm using it for the sake of tongue in cheek. This Holy Spirit thing is not just something thunk up. My wife loves it when I say that. In the New Testament, there were indicators of the Holy Spirit's coming all along in the Old Testament. It's going to happen. Jesus, we fast forward to Luke 24:49. I am going to send the promise. What promise? The promise He's already promised us about in the Old Testament. I'm going to send the promise of my Father, but you're to wait into the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Let's talk about the New Testament because we're still in the Word. Is the Word good? The Holy Spirit is not an emotion. The Holy Spirit is a person. But to help us with understanding, I want us to look at the Word in a nutshell. There's provision in the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John prophesies of the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I just did that for the sake of spacing. Baptism of the Holy Spirit at His baptism. John says it this way at Jesus' baptism. He says of that event, he says, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove. And watch this. And remain on Him. Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit comes at His baptism. And He remains on Him. Jesus references it in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, which is also a throwback to the Isaiah prophecy. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because He has anointed me, yada, yada. Jesus references it, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is not something just thunk up by Pentecostal churches. This is something that we see in the New Testament. We see a groundwork laid in the Old Testament, and we see the provision and the actuation of it, if that's a word, the activity of it in the New Testament. We see it take place. Let me give you some more scriptures. The New Testament provision, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive what? Power. What is this power for? Just look at the verse and see if you can figure it out. Somebody shout it real loud while I get a drink of water. It's power to witness. What is a witness? A witness is someone who testifies to the truth. So what is my life supposed to be? My life is supposed to be empowered by the Spirit of God so that I can testify to Jesus. The problem and the challenge that we face is when we try to testify to Jesus and we ain't got no power. Hey, let me just tell you a story. See, I don't have a story. I got a testimony. A story is really weak. You can read about stories in kids' church. Sorry for those of you working in kids' church. Those stories are powerful and they need to hear about them. But ultimately what we want to arrive at in every person's life is a testimony. We don't want it just to become a story. We want it to be a testimony. This thing is truth. This thing is real. My salvation, my baptism in the Holy Spirit is real. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke, the doctor, remember I touched on that last week? Luke, the detail guy, the history guy, he writes and he says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Who did the enabling? Who did the speaking? Come on now. They did. They did the speaking, the Spirit did the enabling. So there's just a really good breakdown right there of what happens here's why it was frustrating for me when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you the end of the story is I got up there not feeling a thing, but knowing that God had touched my life. I went home. We were living in a single wide, Jimmy's single wide at the time. And in my room that night, I knelt beside my bed and I prayed. I said, God, if you have baptized me in the Holy Spirit, I need to speak in tongues. And that happened. When the pressure was off and the, for me, it was chaos. Guys, I'm an introvert. I don't do good with stand up, speak up, shut up, sit down. Because that's all I got. I got instructions. Speak up, let go, hold on, let go, hold on, let go. Which one? I felt like I was being put through spiritual calisthenics at the altar. But I did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I did begin to understand that it's me who does the speaking, but it's the Spirit that does the enabling. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Peter says, the promise is for you, he's preaching. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Okay, when does it end? According to that, what promise? The promise of the Father. You see the language that's used? The promise is for you and for your children. Thank God that our children are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Some of our youth need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? I don't say that to put them down. Let me just say, some of the older folks in here need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll leave no one unoffended if I can this morning, okay? I'm just kidding. I love you all. But we all need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Young and old. Midlife crisis or not. The promise is for you and it's for everyone else. To as many as our Lord God will call. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God boldly. Huh. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they do? Speak the word of God boldly. I should just preach that one Sunday. Acts chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. I'm moving through. I got about a few more chapters in Acts we're going to hit real quick. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard the Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. So the word has come. They've received the word. Peter, John, we need you to go and bring discipleship to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Then what were they called first? Look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8th word and the 9th word. What are they called in the second sentence? new believers. Understand, they were already called new believers because they had received the word. Peter and John show up because they needed to receive something else. They needed to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, Paul is struck down on the road to Damascus. Ananias prays, I'm summarizing a lot here. Ananias prays for Paul to receive his sight, and he also prays for Paul to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is the guy that wrote so much of the New Testament. Do we understand it? He wasn't just, I asked Jesus in my heart. I'm really struggling with that theology. Others are too, and I know. Another day, another pet peeve. Was it you that posted something on that? Or no? Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to point. It was just a general you, like everybody in that section. No, it was for Susan. Somebody posted something on Facebook. It was an article, and it really just concurred with a struggle that I have with asking Jesus in your heart. I don't need Jesus in my heart. I need him in my life. I don't want to minimize that, and don't leave church because you ask Jesus into your heart and you don't feel like it's complete. That's silly. But ask him to be in your life totally, completely. I just find it interesting, though. Paul didn't just say the sinner's prayer. Ananias prayed for him. Prayed for him to receive sight and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I dare say that most of the New Testament that we see that's attributed to Paul is not written if he's not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you see the need for it? Do you see the need? Acts chapter 10, the Gentile Pentecost. Now it's moved away from the Jewish believers to the Gentile Pentecost at Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10. That was 6 years later. Peter is prepared by a heavenly vision on the rooftop of Simon. After some debate, Peter is convinced that the Gentiles are indeed no longer to be called unclean, that God has cleansed them. So he goes to Cornelius' home, and in the middle of his sermon, the Holy Spirit falls, and the Gentiles gathered there. And do I have that one? No, I don't. Well, yeah, I do. Acts chapter 10, while Peter was still speaking these words, they're so uncivilized. Look what happens. The Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Holy Ghost, now don't you know we got an order of service? I'm kidding, y'all. Lighten up. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all those who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So I've given you a lot of traction in the New Testament. Is it pretty clear to you, like it's pretty clear to me, that the New Testament, particularly the book of Acts, it's obvious that the promise is for the believers, for those who have put their faith and their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, and that there is a gift, there is a promise for us believers, and that promise is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we see it in Acts 1, and Acts 2, and Acts 4 I hit it, in Acts 6 I hit it, in Acts 8 I hit it, in Acts 9 I hit it, in Acts 10 I hit it. Every one of those, you see evidence of the baptism and the life of the Holy Spirit, and that's just a glossing over. There's more we could go into. It's obvious. It's obvious. So what does baptism mean? Well, in the classical Greek, baptism refers to a sunken ship, a ship that's lying on the bottom of the ocean, waterlogged. It is submersed. It is surrounded by water. That's in the classical Greek. In Vine's New Testament dictionary, he says that it refers to the dyeing of a garment or dipping one vessel to draw water or wine to put into another vessel. In the New Testament, I'm just teaching because I want us to start with the word so that we understand. Guys, I think that there are so many people that have been frustrated with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to hit them on in the end. And they feel like they haven't been baptized, or they feel like they're not walking in the present empowerment of the Spirit because there's been not enough emphasis on the truth of God's Word when it comes to the life of the Spirit in us. There has to be an understanding of what the Word of God says. You can't just take it from Grandmama. You got to understand what the Word says, because what the Word says defines your experience, not your experience defining the Word. Let me say it again. The Word defines your experience, not your experience defining the Word. Three types of baptism in the New Testament. First of all, when you receive Jesus, you are baptized into His body. You are baptized into Christ. We are a part of the body if you believe in Jesus. You are fully submersed. There's nothing left out. Your life belongs to the bride of Christ, the body. The second type of baptism that we see in the New Testament is water baptism. And then the third type is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've got scripture I could give you on all these, but for the sake of time, we'll move forward. I think they're pretty clear. Who does the baptizing? Jesus came to be our Savior. Jesus came to be our Savior. Jesus also came to be our baptizer. And if you'll give me a minute, I'll get to the scripture. I've referenced it already. This is Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me, that's a reference to Jesus, he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit? Jesus. John says, he who comes after me is mightier than I am, and he is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to baptize you with fire. Jesus came to be our Savior, but he also came to be our baptizer. In salvation, we receive his presence, but in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we receive his power. I felt such a burden earlier when we were singing that, and I made reference to it right before the end of worship. No thing can compare. No thing can compare. That lyric, if we expect to do life in our own strength, we're certain to fail. It's only when the enabling and the empowering of God's Spirit is a reality in our life. I'm not talking about a feel-good moment on Sunday morning. I'm talking about a reality in our life. In salvation, we are established in Him. And in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are empowered by Him. I've got just a couple more pages here. A couple really means four. But they'll go quick. Maybe only one or two more slides, actually. What are the obstacles that we face when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, this was mine. Anybody else? This was your obstacle? You were afraid. Can I just speak to you from a pastoral point of view, from a shepherd? There's never a reason to fear the Father. Despite what you may have experienced in your own life with regard to your father or the absence of a father, our Heavenly Father never need be feared. You never need to fear Him. We don't fear Jesus when we receive Him as Savior, do we? Why should we fear Him when we ask Him to be baptizer? Jesus said that He would send the Comforter. Very same kind of nature, the same kind of character. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one. They have the same nature. They have the same character. At salvation, we never seem to fear. But when we, because of the stigma, the mark, we fear the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But there's a remedy to this, and I don't have it up there, but you can write it down. It's 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So here's what you and I can know. We don't need to fear the baptism or the refilling of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need to embrace it because He loves us. The second thing that is an obstacle is a lack of understanding. That was me as well. You speak, and the Holy Spirit gives the utterance. Can I just put it very plainly? If you're waiting for a lightning bolt from heaven, it probably won't happen. I was, and I was frustrated, and I didn't know what was going on, Miss Patty. I was freaked out, honestly. I probably should still see a counselor about it. I'm just kidding. It was a scary moment. It was scary because I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know what was expected of me. I really honestly thought God was going to take over my tongue and just move it around, do some kind of calisthenics in my mouth with my tongue and my teeth. I didn't know. There was a lack of understanding on my part. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives the utterance, but you do the speaking. And maybe you say, Pastor Rick, that's the part that I have a hard time. That's the part that is a struggle for me. Well, can I just address that head on? Just run to the problem? That speaking part is an act of faith. And it took just a little bit of faith for you to say, you know what? I'm a sinner in need of grace, and I receive you, Jesus, into my life. If you can muster up that much faith again, just takes faith. It just takes faith to speak. Amen. There won't be a lightning bolt from heaven. I guess there could be. I don't want to put God in a box. Okay, we've got good insurance. It'll cover it. But that's speaking very literally. But God may do something. You may feel a jolt of power in your body. You may that's happened. Yes. I've laid hands on people before, Briggs, or get ready to lay hands on them distinctly. I mean, this is a God thing. This is not a Rick thing. But prayer meeting one night in our dorm, and I'm getting ready to lay hands on the guy, and as I'm pushing my hand forward, he's falling out in the spirit. That was a God moment. And he had his eyes closed. He didn't know my hand was coming. I was like, where'd he go? That power can happen. That can happen, sure. Sure, it can happen. It takes faith. Faith, by the way, requires action. Faith is our responsibility. You know what word is in responsibility? Response. That's rich right there, isn't it? It takes action. We got to respond. In John chapter 5, Jesus came to a man and he saw his condition. He asked him if he wanted to be made whole. In verse 6, the man made excuses. In verse 7, Jesus disregarded the excuses. You know what he told him? He told the man to get up and walk. It required action on the man's part. The speaking requires action on your part. Karen, can you come up and play and I'll go through these last one or two real quickly. I don't have it up there, so let me just touch on this one. There's this notion, I don't want it to be me. Can I just say that's really silly? Who else is it going to be? It's got to be you. Not you baptizing, but you receiving. The Heavenly Father will give us exactly what we want. Then there's the concern, I don't want to be in the flesh. Well, let me ask you this. When you got saved, did you think, I don't want to be in the flesh? No, you, by faith, received Jesus into your life. You responded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit who was present in that moment of salvation. So he's not a foreigner to you, okay? You have felt, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, you felt the work of the Holy Spirit before. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then perhaps it's a foreign feeling. You don't remember. You've lost that moment. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is as easy as being saved. And then there's the concern about emotion. And let me just touch on that. Because there's a difference between emotionalism and emotion. You can't read the book of Psalms and not find the evidence of emotion. David is a very emotional guy. Emotion is okay. Emotionalism is the problem, though. Emotionalism is using emotions to try to make something happen, so that emotions become the driving force. You may get emotional when you receive the baptisms of the Holy Spirit or are refilled. You may get emotion. But the last thing that we want to do is create an atmosphere where there is some kind of emotion that is being driven to try to make something happen. That is not biblical. That's extra biblical. It's outside. There may be a response of emotions, but it's a response. And then there's this one, and I have heard this one recently, in fact. I guess I haven't waited long enough. I don't know who came up with that idea. I wish they hadn't, because it's not biblical. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is received by faith. It takes faith. Did you have to wait long enough to receive Jesus? Go like this. No. There was no waiting and waiting and waiting for salvation. There was a moment of surrender when Jesus became your Lord and Savior. And when that moment occurred, you were baptized into his body. And then most likely you were probably subsequently baptized in water, and then hopefully have been baptized or will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But sometimes it gets out of order, and you can find that in the New Testament too, in the book of Acts. There are those who were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then they got baptized in water. God, don't you know we have an order of service? Let me give you one last slide real quickly. What does it take? Steps to receive the Holy Spirit. Would you do me a favor and stand? You've been sitting. You've been so patient. And I asked the question because it was a setup earlier. How many of y'all been dry recently? Been like in a barren land? It just feels so dry. Let me just tell you, you're in the right place. And I've asked some people to come on up. You guys come on up. I've asked three couples, and my wife's going to come. And Vicky's in kids' church, I'm sorry. Tommy's coming up. So we got three different people. Dave and Leslie are coming. Steve and Lisa are coming. Here's what we're going to do. We're not going to hype emotion. We're not going to bring the drummer up so he gets supercharged like a double shot of espresso or something. It's not about that. What I've given you this morning is the Bible. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's truth. Your part is to respond to it. In a moment, Karen's going to sing. And during that time, if you need to be filled or refilled, just come on up here and let one of these guys or ladies pray with you. What does it take? Remove every barrier. He's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins, 1 John 1:9. Remove every barrier. Let's just do that right now. Close your eyes with me. Father, right now, we just come to you. And you've got to pray this and say this in your own way and in your own heart, because I can't do it for you. I can't vicariously ask for forgiveness for your sins. You've got to ask for forgiveness of your own sins. So just in this moment, God, we come to you. Examine us by your Spirit, God. And if there's any unconfessed sin that's before us, we want to confess it right now, that our hearts and our hands are clean before you, God. We remove every barrier because Jesus removes them for us. The second thing is that you got to request it. You have to ask. And when you ask, it takes faith. There's not a formula. I don't have a prayer printed that they're going to lead you in. They're going to pray with you more than likely. And then you're going to pray. And I'll just, everybody look at me for a second, because I want you to understand something. When you pray and you say, Lord, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you got to step out in faith and you got to speak, trusting that the Spirit of God will enable you. He will enable you. He will enable you. But you got to speak. Don't wait for a lightning bolt. Just let God's Spirit. Don't worry about what it sounds like. Ain't nobody up here grading. We have no sheets that we're checking off. You got to ask, but you got to speak, and He will enable. The third thing is you got to receive. I receive the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit by faith. It takes faith. And then the fourth thing I've already said is you release faith. You release faith. So bow your heads with me for a moment. I'm just going to pray a very general prayer, and then Karen's going to begin to sing when I'm finished. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because I'm just going to be honest with you. I really expect these altars to be filled up with people. And I've been praying for the gift of faith to be released in this house today. I have this expectation that the believers at Mountain Gap Church need to be refilled or re-enabled or re-empowered by the Holy Spirit this morning. And so when Karen begins to sing in a moment, I don't want there to be any hesitation or look around to see if Billy Bob or Sally are coming up first. Some of you just need to go ahead. The Holy Spirit's already wrestling with you, and there's a conviction, and you just need to move out when that moment comes. So don't hesitate. I really have an anticipation. I said it earlier, and young people, I'm telling you, guys, look at me for a second. First of all, if I had surrendered my life to the Holy Spirit when I was your age, Trudy, there's no telling how much further down the road I would be. And I don't know if Trudy's been baptized in the Holy Spirit or not, but I'm going to tell you, every one of y'all need to be. You need it for this present day world we're living in. And if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, maybe you need to be refilled and just come on up in that moment and just say, God, I need more of you in my life. It's not manipulation. I'm just telling you, there's a desperate need for the body of Christ that we need to be re-enabled and re-empowered. So God, right now we surrender the next few minutes, and we just forget about the pot roast and everything else going on. And Lord, we just want to surrender our lives to you. We surrender our time to you. We surrender our agenda to you. And God, I pray right now, Lord, that the gift of the Holy Spirit will be poured out. The promise of the Father will be poured out in this church today, God. That, Lord, we will be enabled and we will be empowered to do the work of ministry that we've been called to testify to the truth of Jesus. That we will stop living as a victim, that we will move in the empowerment of God's Spirit who makes us more than conquerors through Christ. So God, I pray right now.
Thank you for joining us today. Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.